Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, where we are looking at signs of the times as revealed through Jesus and through Daniel the prophet. Yesterday, we pointed out that Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1, he was on the Temple Mount with his disciples, and they were just remarking about those stones, those beautiful stones, those big stones. How did Herod do it? How did he pull them all up there? Even today when I take people to Israel and we go down, there's one stone we always measure, and we have someone stand down at the end of it. This is in the Western Wall, and someone stand down at the other end, and it's remarkable. People cannot imagine how they pulled those stones into place in the times of Herod without modern equipment. And so that's what the disciples were talking about. And they said, "Oh, Master, look at these." And Jesus said, Matthew 24, 2, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, that means some time has passed. They've gone from the Mount Moriah, where the temple is, over to the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, they had had time to pose their questions. Did you hear what he said? He's saying the temple's going to be destroyed. "Here, Peter, you ask him," I'm sure some of them said. And it may have well been Peter that said these two Jewish questions. Tell us, they don't know a thing in the world about the church. The church is a hidden mystery. No one knows anything about it but Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost. So they're just there, and they say, "Tell us, when shall these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And what shall be the sign of your parousia?" In the Greek, that means you're coming as the emperor, you're coming as the king. "And of the end of the age." Now they're looking for the king Messiah. They're looking for Jesus to come as the king Messiah. They don't even know at this point about his death, burial, and resurrection. They're just there asking him about, when are you going to set up the earthly kingdom that the prophets talked about? Isaiah talked about it. Ezekiel talked about it. Hosea, Zechariah, they all talked about this earthly kingdom. And they want to know when that kingdom is going to come. And he said, he told them many things, but we're going to look particularly today at what he told them about the book of Daniel and how the book of Daniel is to us a sign of his coming. And here he says in Luke 21, they said, "What shall be the sign?" And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree," that's Israel. How do we know? We know it from Joel 1:7. In Joel 1:7, it's a prophecy that another kingdom will come and strip the fig tree of all of its bark, leave it bare. Well, of course, that happened. They were carried off into captivity. It was stripped bare. So Jesus said, "Watch the fig tree, watch Israel, and all the trees." Israel is a tree, is a nation, it points to Israel. So these other trees are nations. They're the nations of prophecy. None of them have anything to do with the United States, nor the church. Now, when they shoot forth, when they come into their prophetic place, when that fig tree starts to bud again, when those Jews come home, when they reestablish their state, all of that is in this. When the fig tree and all the other prophetic trees shoot forth into the prophetic place, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God, the earthly visible kingdom, is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What generation? The generation that sees the fig tree bud, that sees Israel come back home. That's my generation. That sees Israel become a nation, 1948. That sees Israel get back Jerusalem, 1967. That generation will not pass away till all be fulfilled. That's people who were alive when I was alive. Bless the Lord. Some of us are getting gray hair. So you know that the time of his coming is very, very soon. I'm looking over at my grandson. And on March 18, 2008, he had a visitation of Jesus. And the first thing Jesus said to him, was what? Tell them I'm coming soon. And he repeated it 4 or 5 times. Tell them I'm coming soon. So that's why we're looking. You know, my grandson is over here. He just had his 20th birthday. Daniel was probably about that age. And the Lord said to him, tell them my time of my coming. And we're going to look in the book of Daniel. At that time, when Daniel prophesied that and wrote it in the book, the Lord said to Daniel, the time, the moed, is far off. Seal this book until the time of the end. Now, when he appeared to my grandson, he said, tell them I'm coming soon, because we're at the time of the end. But when he gave these things to Daniel, it was a long way off. But he wrote them before they happened so that we would know the time of their coming. And he said, now I want to point you to this summer word. Jesus spoke to them a parable. Watch the fig tree, watch Israel, and all the trees of prophecy. When they shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves, summer is nigh at hand. What does that summer mean? Let's find out in the book of Daniel. I hope you have your Bible there with you, and you can turn with me to this wonderful, wonderful book. The Jews, who was Daniel? Daniel, we know, says that he was of the seed royal. That means he was from the house of Judah, because from the house of Judah comes the scepter. From the house of Judah comes David, and then his greater son, the Messiah. So we know that Daniel was in that lineage. He was in that royal household. He actually was. He was in the line of Hezekiah. And so he was in the seed royal. He had been in the raised up, brought up in the palaces of Israel. And he had heard the prophet Jeremiah. He had heard him prophesy about what was going to happen. If they didn't repent, they were going to be carried off. And indeed, they were carried off. At the time, the superpower on the earth was Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And the Bible says, because of Israel's sins, God gave them over into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he came into Judah. He came into Jerusalem. He went into the temple and he carried off some of the vessels, the golden vessels. They turn up in another chapter later on from the temple. But he also carried off some people. And in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And then he mentioned some of the very talented peoples to bring them. And we're going to bring them over here into our land. And we're going to train them, to educate them in science and in their sciences of the day, astronomy and all the other things. And we're going to have them stand then in the king's palace. Teach them my language that they might stand before the king. And in this group that they brought on early was Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And when they got over there into that idol-worshiping place, the prince of the eunuchs gave them new names. And he named them, and everybody remembers the names that were given to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were given Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the name that was given unto Daniel was Belteshazzar. Now, this is an amazing verse, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself, Now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. He said, he came in there. Now he is a captive, and he's in danger of a slap in the face to the king, because the king is going to feed them off his table, all of his dainties, put them up in the school, teach them, and then he's going to use their minds. Those Jews had great minds. And also, if you took the best people out of the foes that you captured, then they couldn't rise up against you again. So he took these young people, but Daniel said, no, I can't do it. I cannot. For one thing, it may have been that the food was offered to idols. Another thing, it would not have been according to kosher, according to the Jewish laws of diet. And so he said, just bring me. And what he asked for was raw lentils and vegetables. They couldn't have been cooked, you know, wrong. So the consensus is, and from the word, that he asked for raw vegetables. And then he ate these, and the three Hebrew children, they kept themselves clean before God. Nowadays, you hear people saying, oh, we got to get just like the world. To win the world, we got to be like the world. Oh, no, you don't. You separate yourself to God and what God said in his word. And then you can have power with God like Daniel did. So it says in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And when the king came to give them their oral examination, verse 19, the king communicated with them, and there were a whole lot of people in this king's college that lasted 3 years. Among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Not just 10 times better than the college students they went with, but 10 times better than the masters over all these great sciences of their day. They were 10 times smarter. That's the power of God and the power of serving God. Well, this is Billy Brim. We're enjoying being with you. And we do invite you to come and be with us in Collinsville, Oklahoma, May 8th, 9th, and 10th for an Awakening America Rally. Also, send your youth to our Champions for Christ meeting that we have July 27th through 31st in Branson, Missouri, with Chip Brim, Steve Munns, Jeremy Pearsons, and me. I get to speak to these young Daniels and Joshuas and Marys, Esthers. So we'd love to have your youth there. I do hope some of you are coming with us to Israel, taking a youth tour to Israel. We're leaving June, I think it's 16th, something like that. Inviting you to come. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.